You're still on the.
Yes. The next item is the expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District. In your packet was an ordinance for introduction to authorize the issuance of $3,887,000 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County for the cost of design, construction, and equipping the expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District. The bonds are backed by the county's full faith and credit and are expected to be paid back over 40 years through revenues and from the expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District. The bond issuance is within the legal debt limit of the county. It is anticipated that the bonds will be sold to the United States of America Rural Utility Services. The bonds will provide the funding for the boundaries of the area known as Millville Phase 3 Expansion, State Route 26, and a spur line project along State Route 26 for additional sewer service. The funding for the expansion is in line with what was presented at the public hearing in March 2013.
I'll introduce it.
Cole introduce it.
That's all she needed. All that reading.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Keeler. Camera system bid award.
All right. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council.
Good morning. Good morning.
I have a brief PowerPoint presentation here. So I thought. Thank you. All right. I'm here today to recommend for your approval to award a contract to Tyler Technologies to purchase their computer-assisted mass appraisal system. Some of the project goals for this software: replace our current antiquated system built in the late 70s, integrate with other systems including UNIS and GIS, provide improved data management, enhance our evaluation services, better manage productivity, provide services in a more efficient and cost-effective manner, and to ensure the system will not become obsolete in the future. If you take a brief look at the timeline here, back in April 2015, during our budget workshops for FY 2016, I presented the purpose and need for a computer-assisted mass appraisal system. The concept and budgetary requests were approved. May, June 2015, upon receipt of the RFPs, two responding vendors were on site to provide demos of system capabilities. Employees from the assessment, billing, information technology, and mapping and dressing departments participated in the demonstrations. That brings us to July, August 2015. Upon completion of the demos, reference checks were performed by contacting multiple clients for each vendor. In August 2015, with our consultant, Barry Dunn, members from the assessment, our county attorney, information technology, and the director of finance participated in contract negotiations with Tyler Technologies. If approved, we would have a proposed start date of January 2016 and a go-live date in September of 2016. Some background on Tyler Technologies. They provide software and services to more than 13,000 local government offices. Tyler's CAMA system is installed in more than 300 jurisdictions across 24 states, including the city of Dover. They have more than a 75-year history in the appraisal and tax market. They've been named to Forbes' list of America's best small companies 8 times. They are also a current partner with us with their enterprise resource planning system, MUNIS for tax and utility billing, which is currently in progress.
I can't work it.
To give you an overview, what is a CAMA system? It is an automated system for maintaining property data, valuing property, notifying owners, and ensuring tax equity through uniform valuations. How this will enhance our workflow? Currently, ownership and address changes, clerks have to key those changes in 2 systems. With Tyler, we would update in 1 location, and they will automatically update in all the other modules. Parcel splits and subdivisions. Clerks currently have to key those in 3 different systems. With Tyler, user would fill in the parent parcel number and number of new parcels. System would generate new parcel numbers, copy data from the parent parcel to the new parcels, and automatically update all other applications. Building permits. Currently, our assessor picks up a paper copy of the building permit and performs a site visit to make a rough sketch of the improvement. Assessors will note all the building characteristics, number of bedrooms, bathrooms, type of heat and air, etc. When the assessor returns to the office with all the data, he'll provide it to a clerk, who, remember back in April, will perform a rough sketch on one of our property record cards. Once the clerk does that, all the building characteristics on the physical property record card, they will update our three systems. Proposed, this is the really exciting part about this new system. Tyler has a thing called Field Mobile. It would provide our assessors, they'll be able to download property information electronically. Assessors will perform tasks such as updating property characteristics, doing property sketches, and taking photos. Information would be uploaded when a network connection is established, and work orders would be prioritized to improve efficiency. And I do have a video a little bit later to show you that, Field Mobile. Currently, appraiser requests. Clerk must go to the file room, pull the card from her file, come back to their desk, and read the information to the appraiser. In Tyler's system, all the information pertaining to the property would be available. That would include the picture, sketch, property characteristics, ownership, and tax information. Historical data. Currently, it resides in our legacy system on our property or our property record card. These are vital to our assessment processes, title searchers, and real estate community. In Tyler's system, ownership, parcel splits, deed history would be readily available in one convenient location. All right, we will take a quick view of what this Field Mobile device actually looks like.
My way now to a house that has to be reviewed for reassessment. I'm going to go in.
Sorry about that.
Spot check some of the measurements, walk around the property, make sure there's nothing changed that we don't have in the system, and then we'll be done. Before I had the tablet, I would have to gather my thoughts and my notes and see what it is that I had to do. And with the tablet, that information's all there. So I didn't have to spend any time this morning gathering that information. It was all there in the tablet, ready, waiting for me. Field Mobile is a product that allows me to take the data that I use in the office out into the field.
I think it was really smart on Tyler's part to have us be involved in the implementation process.
I was able to use my background as a residential appraiser to help give input that was beneficial. Really looked at it from the position of a seasoned veteran user would know what to do, but also a brand new appraiser would know how to find the tools that they needed.
I think the implementation of Activity Center and Field Mobile will improve our management of the appraiser's workflow significantly. The workflow is already preloaded for them. They just open Activity Center, it lists what work they have in process, it maps it out for them.
With Activity Center, I don't have to figure out which permits need to be worked first. They are given to me in order of importance. So I like the tile. It scrolls and it tells me right away, even when I open the tablet, that I've got work and where I am in that work. Right away, it just gives me an aerial view of the parcel. Once I click on the parcel here, it'll take me to the detail information. I have the photograph, the sketch, and then the parcel information. You know, sometimes people do things without telling us, and it gives me the ability to see something that I would not have been able to see if I didn't have this. So, for instance, if we discover that there is a new patio on the back of the home, I I simply just click where I'm going to start drawing that new patio. Now, when I go back to the office, this will automatically upload and be approved, and the changes will take effect. But before I leave, I will go and I will take a new picture. I used to have to keep track of which photograph went to which parcel. Now it's just automatic. I won't even have to think about it anymore.
I think the most positive impact we're going to see from the implementation of Field Mobile is going to be some of our time return on processes. Some of our processes were quite lengthy, and Field Mobile will cut some of those by 2/3.
If an appraiser had the opportunity to use Field Mobile, I would tell them to jump at the chance. It will help them be more effective in the field and be more productive.
So you can see some of the benefits from the system. Will help eliminate errors caused by confusing and unconventional workflows. It'll eliminate duplicate processes. It will improve inefficiencies by streamlining our tasks. Procedures will be clear, concise, and done in one location. They'll provide tools aimed at increasing productivity. It'll integrate with our current systems, increase transparency, and reduce phone calls and for CHIP's sake FOIA requests, and also reduce workforce through natural attrition. So myself and the committee made up of the assessment, information, technology, and finance have reviewed proposals, participated in demonstrations and reference checks, and would like to recommend Tyler Technologies as the vendor of choice for the CAMA system. The cost of their contract, including installation, testing, and training, will not exceed $963,040. Does anyone have any questions?
Question, Council?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Berlin. I assume that number is within the budget. That was, I presume.
Yes.
What was the amount budgeted for this? Do you recall?
Let me take it.
Sure.
So we have $800,000 in this budget right now, which goes to June 30th. As you can see, this goes to September, so we'll have another part that will make up the difference
Okay. Next
budget, because it's not all going to occur this year.
Okay. Okay.
More questions?
When do you start?
Hopefully January.
Do you have a motion to read, or?
I have a motion for your consideration.
Please.
All right. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the purchase of a computer-assisted mass appraisal system from Tyler Technologies at a price not to exceed $963,040.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Thank you for all you and your committee for all your hard work.
Yep. Thank you very much.
This is going to be a great step in the right direction.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yep. Old business, Mr. Lank. This is use number 2032. Good morning.
Good morning.
For a few more minutes.
Yeah.
As stated, we do have an item of old business this morning. It's conditional use 2032. It's the application of Guillermo Vasquez, trading as F&N Vasquez Concrete LLC. We had public hearing on this application last week. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a construction company office, equipment parking, and shop yard to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.125 acres, more or less. Property is located north of Sherman Avenue, being Road 213B, 135 feet east of North Old State Road, being Road 213, with a 911 address of 18578 Sherman Avenue, Lincoln, with a tax map ID of District 330, map 14.16, parcels 5.03 and 5. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on October 29th, 2015, and did on November 12th of 2015 make a recommendation that this application be denied for a conditional use to operate a construction company office, equipment parking, and shop yard based upon a record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, it appears that this business probably started small at the applicant's residence. However, as the business has successfully grown, it has outgrown this particular location. Two, several parties appeared in opposition to the application. All of them agree that the applicant is personally a good neighbor, but the business has outgrown the location and is no longer compatible with the neighborhood. Three, this location, Lincoln, is primarily a residential neighborhood. The property is surrounded by homes on several sides. This commercial use, primarily the trucking activities, is not compatible with its residential surroundings. Four, there is information in the record that this use now adversely affects neighboring properties, the community, and adjacent roadways due to the traffic generated by the use, the number of employees coming to and from the location, the sound generated by the equipment stored on the site, and other factors. Five, there are other more appropriate locations for this type of use in Sussex County that are either zoned for the use or are not surrounded by existing residential properties. And six, for all of these reasons, the successful growth of this small business means that it no longer fits into its local surroundings, and another more appropriate location should be found to allow it to continue its growth in Sussex County. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for those reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. At last week's meeting, council deferred action and asked Mr. Moore for some legal research. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The question posed last week was whether or not the council could put a condition that would limit the, that would be a short limitation on the approval. And I believe the time period being bandied about was a six-month period. As we discussed last week, and I think I questioned Mr. Lank if he was aware of any prior periods of time, and he recalled a few that had been placed, time limitations had been placed in the past. And in fact, I know for a fact that for oftentimes with borrow pits, there is a time limitation placed on. And also when you look at the term conditional use, it would just imply that we can place conditions. But it does, if I look to the code though, our actual ordinance under County Code Section 115-174 states, approval of a conditional use under this article shall, and the word is shall, be valid for a period of 3 years after the date of approval. So it implies at the very least that any conditional use would have to be for a 3 year that would stand good for a 3 year period. There would be somewhat of a question whether or not we could limit it shorter. I think from a policy standpoint, putting a short time limit on this is not something that would be a good policy from the standpoint that persons could come in and state, we want a short period of time, and you could see just a lot of these potentially coming up and asking for a short time period in order to have time to cure their transgressions. So my recommendation would be, based upon the verbiage in the code, that there not be a short time period added.
Mr. Cole, that was your question last week.
Yes, it was, and with that in mind, I'll throw this out on the table. I would just suggest maybe, I understand that we had done extensions on permits, but they were like I think you said, borrow pits, and we had like 10-year, you know, 5-year, right, whatever it was. And I understand that a short period of time, short durations could be awkward.
Okay.
So my suggestion at this point would be to defer until the second meeting in January, notify the applicant that the site needs to be cleaned up and brought into compliance. With that in mind, that we will then revisit this application mid-January and come up with a recommendation of either, like I said, it could either be granting it or denying it. So I believe Planning and Zoning has made their recommendation. And they've got some good points there, and I think the applicant needs to realize it'd be a good time to clean up. So that would be my suggestion at this time, and then in mid-January, we give the guy some time to clean the property up, and then we can either approve it or deny it, but okay. I kind of know where I'm going with it. But.
More comments from Councilman Deaver.
If we happen to deny it today, wouldn't he have some time to clean it up? I mean, the county's been very, very patient with this issue.
Well, my only concern, Mrs. Deaver, is that the county's, we've always had a policy that if you have an application pending, that we don't really, we allow that violation to continue until there's been a decision.
Well,
I just, I don't think that would be, I don't know. I just think with it still pending out there, he might think that, God, if I clean up real good, maybe I can get approved. If it's still a mess, then we know better, and we learn, right. I mean, I don't expect it to clean up, but I just think if we deny it, it's an enforcement issue at this point that, and our enforcement is can take be a lengthy process.
But it would be better in January?
Well, I'm just saying we made that may be the decision. But I was just going to suggest we were going to try to give him a six-month, and I was supportive of that, to give him 6 months of to continue in operation. But I would say my patience would only last till about the middle of January at this point with what Mr. Moore has stated.
Mr. Lang, question for you.
Sure.
Reader's Digest version. A application is denied. That person has how long before you start enforcing that denial?
Technically, it would have to be notified immediately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We would then give them so much time to clean up.
Yeah.
And if they're cleaning up and they're being aggressive in their cleaning up, so we could give them more time. Typically, we don't give more than 30 days to get something substantial or cleaned up in that case.
Okay.
If there's no activity, no support by the applicant, we then would turn it over, serve a violation again, turn it over to the constable. It's then the constable's prerogative to insist on cleaning up, serving with a summons, and proceed with legal action.
Yes.
And just my understanding, though, is when we send these a lot of times to court to try to get the violation, the fine, what was $100 a day possibly?
It could be.
Could be up to $100 a day. We've been haven't been very successful. My only point in doing this is we got the holidays, enforcement's going to be rough, everything else. I would just say give the guy an opportunity to show good faith, and then because we could proceed like he's saying, and there is that threat of a fine, it could be as much as $100 a day if the courts would impose it. We can't impose it, right?
No.
The courts would have to impose it.
We cannot impose it. It's up to
and
the courts.
And anyway, that whole process costs us more money with staff and attorney fees and et cetera, et cetera. And I would just as soon come back in, like I said, in middle of January and second meeting in January and get hard on them then or make a decision then.
What makes you think that he would begin to clean it up until he has to?
I have no expectation one way or the other.
Well, I know some the neighbors are here that they have some thoughts, but there's not a time for them to offer any more testimony. But I know that they are here.
Right. I don't see there's being a. My gut feeling is I don't see a consensus to support it, but putting it like we said, starting to notify them, all this other stuff. It may be a while till it gets cleaned up. And then it just gets more costly for everybody. And then if he doesn't do it,
we're
getting the constable and everybody else. I'm just...
Just an example, we had one case that went through the court. And the court charged county engineering to oversee the cleanup. And it was substantially worse even in this site, but it took several months before it got cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the county was involved, I believe, was as far as the engineering department was, that they had control over the landfill situation, and there wasn't many fees charged for all the material that went to the landfill. That's been several years ago.
And so you're saying then?
I'm just using that for an example. It has happened, and what George made reference to as far as the fines, the ordinance said it could be up to $100 per day per violation. But the courts typically don't fine them $100 a day per violation. The fines are minimal. The court costs sometimes are higher than the fine.
Right. So I'm just trying to avoid all that headache and hope.
You still have to clean it up.
We may end up going, Mrs. Deaver, we may end up going that route. I'm just hoping by middle of January we've seen progress and a good faith effort on him. The gentleman may have to come back in front of us for a rezoning in a new location he finds, and all I can tell you is, you know, you look back at his track record, that have an indication. So he might, as a businessman, be smart enough to say, I better, you know, get cleaned up and get out of here.
Mr. President, it may be appropriate for me to read the short title and then appropriate motions made.
Sure.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a construction company office, equipment, parking, and shop/yard to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 3.125 acres more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Well, I'll make the motion that we defer, and I don't know what the date is of the second meeting in
12th,
till January 12th. And then I'll let Mr. Lank notify to where he sees fit. But I'll just make a motion we defer.
Do we have a second for the motion? The motion dies for lack of a second.
Well, I will second it so we can continue the conversation. Doesn't mean I'll have a second so we can continue the conversation.
Okay. I will retract my statement. We have a second. Questions on the motion?
Yeah, question/comment. So in the end, you know, I too was open to doing a very short-term consideration, a timeline, if you would, on that conditional use. And apparently, the ordinance does not permit for that, at least not today. So so I guess, therefore, we really do not have any legal mechanism. I guess the only short-term mechanism is to defer it, i.e., in essence, you are allowing that opportunity to extend it. But at the same time, I will tell you that the business owner has known, I think, that he's been not in compliance for a very long time. And I think at the same time, the residents have been extremely patient throughout this process. And based on his business, based on the winter months, you know, coming, I think that his business will probably be somewhat silent and minimal as we go into the winter here. So, I mean, obviously I can see both sides to this, but I think in the end, you know, I think we need to continue to place focus in the policies and principles. And, you know, business owner has to perhaps have a sense of urgency now, as does all other business owners. So I get it. I fully understand it, as you know. But I think in this particular case, I think there's been plenty of opportunity. And we do not have the permission to grant a short-term conditional use approval. So either way, I'm ready for a vote.
Okay. Any more questions on the vote? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote no for that. I do think that we need to show that we do follow our rules and regulations, and we represent other than the applicant. We represent the neighborhood too, and he has had a long time to comply, and he hasn't done it.
Cole.
Well, since that was my big idea, I'll vote yes to support to defer. And I was just hoping to somehow thread the needle, and maybe I didn't thread it well enough.
Mr. Arlette.
The
motion is to defer.
Okay, that's the
January
motion that
12th.
We to defer. Gotcha. Okay, so therefore, on that particular motion, I will say no to that. Just to reconfirm what we were voting on.
I will also vote no. Motion defeated. Any more motions?
Yes, I'll make a motion we adopt, right? Because we do it in the affirmative.
Yep.
Right.
What is the number there, gentlemen? My
thing. We used 2032.
Thank you. I'll motion to adopt that condition.
Motion, Mr. Cole, to adopt conditional use 2032. Do we have a second for
second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
It shouldn't be adopted. I say no. And the Planning and Zoning voted to deny, and it was unanimous, 5-0. They also gave reasons, six reasons, and those are my reasons as well. And I want to thank the residents who have been so patient. Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote no for the same reasons as Councilperson Deaver.
Mr. Arnett.
She's so articulate.
I think again, I
speech.
I will just say that I'm going to vote no on the conditional use per the. No, wait a minute. Yeah, that is correct. Vote no. Good grief,
well,
you guys. You guys are confusing me now. On the conditional use set forth with the planning and zoning. Though we are pro business, but I think he needs to find another location.
Before I put a couple of things, I want to make a statement. I think the neighbors certainly don't want the guy out of business. They want to see him succeed. I think they are very appreciative of what we're trying to do and willing to work with that individual. So hopefully, as I'm going to vote no on the motion, it's going to be defeated. Hopefully, as we work with that individual with timelines and constraints, there's a little bit of reciprocation on the part of the neighborhood to give him maybe a little more than 60 days or whatever the time frame would call for to get that stuff cleaned up, as long as you said last week, there's a light in that tunnel, you know, where the stopping point is. So I think we'd all agree with the pictures we saw, it's going to take a lot to clean that up. It's not going to be a matter of 4 or 5 days to do that. So we know what the goal is. I'm going to vote no, motion defeated. So the conditional use is not granted. I think we'll be on a timeline to get things done. But hopefully between he and the neighborhood, you can all work together to give a little bit of give and take each way and get this to happen. So thank you, Mr. Lang.
Thank you.
Mrs. Jennings. Great.